And welcome back to Mound Money. In studio with us now is Jason Bennett. He is the director of food and beverage at the Stein Erickson Lodge. And over the Glitterton?
Yeah, that's correct.
Restaurant. Third, fourth, fifth time maybe is the charm. Sorry.
We've all gotten it wrong this morning.
But moving on, the Glitterton restaurant was recently named one of America's 100 best wine restaurants. Congratulations.
Thank you.
And what's involved in getting a recognition like that?
It's actually Wine Enthusiast Magazine, their publication. They rate wines. They rate different restaurants and wine lists across the country. And they invite you to apply, and you submit your application,
Is service a component of that, or it sounds like they're just looking at the
factual
information?
It's actually service, the food, and the wine, the wine list itself. It more leans towards the wine list.
Can you talk a little bit about the interplay between your desire to have a breadth of wines, and obviously one that you've achieved, and sort of the peculiarities of Utah, where, as I understand it, you can only bring in certain wines. How does that work?
You can bring in anything you want to.
You can.
If they're willing to sell it.
Okay.
You have to have a winery that's willing to sell it. And so we do have to reach out sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
For instance, if there's a purveyor that we want in France or someone that we want in California, a lot of times we'll have to reach out to them and tell them we want to add them to our list. And then we go through a process, and then we special order it.
So there's a process by which they can be added to the Utah State approved list, or they have to
Correct.
Pay a tax or something like that?
Correct. There's a markup that the state has, and one of the peculiarities that a lot of people don't realize in Utah is restaurants, they pay the same price at the liquor store right downstairs that you pay. So we pay the same, so you might go to a restaurant and think, oh, that seems a little expensive,
mm-hmm.
but it's actually not the same margin that
probably
other
less
states
than other states.
Have.
Yeah.
That's interesting. So the reason, one of the things that would go into your extraordinary wine selection is that you are proactively reaching out. You're not just going off the checklist that you can get off at the liquor store.
Correct.
You are reaching out, finding these wines, going through the bureaucratic process to get them approved, and that's how you end up with the quality of the list that you have.
Correct. And then once we have it, the special order process works much faster. I mean, once you have a certain purveyor of wine in the state,
right.
Then after that, it's just an order. They ship it here. It goes into the state system, and then we go and pick it
up. So you guys do the heavy lifting, and then other restaurants, it's easier for them if they want to copy your wine list to get some of those wines in their restaurant, or is that not the case?
They can, but a special order has to be granted by whoever's sending the wine.
By the vineyard.
Yeah, but the state also has the right to pick up that wine and take some of our order if they want to.
So these are some of the details of running a fine restaurant. And then there's also the cultural side of it, right? The type of service that you get. What is the experience like? As you talk to your team and share with them, this is what it means to be at the Glitterton restaurant. This is what we want the experience like. What do you share with them?
Really, the overall experience at Stein's, I mean, we have a culture of, we're the only five-star hotel in the state. And it's a culture of service. So it's the same thing with our wine program in our restaurant.
But I think every restaurant would say, it's service.
So,
but that's where I'm trying to get. When you're talking to your team, culturally, what are some of the things that you focus on to help them understand the difference between maybe your restaurant and another restaurant down the street?
We just focus on the small steps. I mean, whether it's making sure someone has silverware to making sure if you finish your glass of wine, it comes off the table unless you're having another. It's just the devil's in the details.
One of the things, we talk to a lot of restaurateurs in town, and many of them express continued frustration and over the challenge of maintaining staffing. My sense, which may or may not be right from eating at your restaurant, is that you have a relatively consistent staff, that you've been able to hold on to people. How do you do that? And is my perception right?
Again, I think it goes back to the culture. I mean, our chef, Zane, he's been there almost 20 years.
Right.
I've been at Stein's for 18 years. One of my sommeliers, he's been there for 27 years. So there's a lot of people with tenure, but at the same time, you know, we fight the same fight.
Same turnover
anybody
fight.
Does. Yeah. And it's, you know, dishwashers, bussers, hosts, and to some extent, servers. It's as, you know, housing increases, we're looking at ways of pulling people from Salt Lake, pulling people from far outreaching areas. I mean, we have one of our chefs at the Stein Erickson residences. He drives from Wyoming every day.
Wow.
I mean, I used to live in Wyoming too, so it's actually only, it's 45 minutes from my house in Salt Lake. Coming from Evanston, it was 50. So it's really not, you know, it's looking at different labor pools.
Mm-hmm. And speaking of labor pools, but I want to stay on the wine theme. Talk to us about the sommeliers and their educational background. I have some friends that are sommeliers, and I was shocked at the amount of education that's involved and how rigorous that is.
It is. There's an introductory level with the Court of Master Sommeliers, and that's the level that I've taken. Then there's a certified level, then you go to an advanced level, and then a master som. And really, I mean, it takes at least a year of study to pass the first, to a year and a half. And you really have to study. I mean, you have to know wine regions, what grapes grow in those regions, the difference between, you know, how Sauvignon Blanc grows in France to where it grows in California, and the difference in flavor and taste. And then as you progress through the levels, there's different, you know, tests in tasting wine.
And the highest level is the master sommelier?
Correct.
And I would assume you have at least one, probably several?
No, we have one of our somms is enrolled and actually studying for, you have to, the advanced level, you have to take a course. It's usually a year wait to take that course. She's going to be taking that course coming up. And then a year after that, you take the test. And the pass rate of that is very small.
Okay.
And then the master somm, there are very little in the country as a whole.
So as we've been talking about this, I started to get intrigued with the notion of how do you go about selecting those wines? In other words, is there a committee of somms at the institution? And this sounds like a really, really unpleasant job to actually have to taste those wines. How does it work?
We basically evaluate our list, and things rotate in and out because some of the lower-end wines, which are still some very good wines, rotate in and out through the state. So we have to change our list constantly. But when we really evaluate what our strengths are,
right.
I mean, you know, we don't look at California cabs because we have five pages of California cabs. We're looking at Cabernet from South Africa, from different regions. And then we evaluate ratings, producers. Because a lot of times, if we have to special order it, we can't taste it.
Right. That's what I was going to ask. How do you? Yeah.
Well, there are certain tastings. Mm-hmm. Like, we'll go to San Francisco to a tasting.
Right.
From importers or to New York, and really evaluate wines in that format.
Right.
And then decide what we want to order and bring them in.
All kidding aside, that does sound like a very interesting but also rigorous process.
It is. Yeah. But it's enjoyable.
Yeah, I would think so.
If you're just joining us, our guest is Jason Bennett. He is the director of food and beverage at the Stein Erickson Lodge. He's in studio with us celebrating the Glitterton's being named by Wine Enthusiast magazine as one of America's 100 best wine restaurants. You mentioned being a five-star restaurant, and I believe you said
actually a four-star restaurant, five-star.
Five-star hotel. Okay. Most four-star restaurants are going to see I would think like in New York City or San Francisco, where 4-star restaurants would be more common, I would think their business would be more steady throughout the year than maybe what the Stein is seeing. I would think you see a fair amount of ebbs and flows in your business just based on ski season. Is that the case or not?
It is and it isn't. Our summer tends to be almost as busy as our winter. There's a shoulder season, and I think with Vail Resorts, with what's happening in Deer Valley, a lot of restaurants have seen the shoulder seasons get smaller.
So in the past, how have you dealt with the shoulder season when business slows down?
That's when people go on vacation.
Are you guys open all 12 months?
We're open 365 days a year.
And does the Sunday brunch happen all throughout the year as well?
It does.
I mean, that has been an institution for a long time. Has it changed in any significantly in any recent years? Do you still have jazz on some weekends?
Yeah. Yesterday we had Mr. Sister playing on the decks. And, the dining room, to your point, it is very consistent for Sunday brunch year-round.
And Roger, that brings up a good point. Any special events going on in the next couple months that our listeners should know about?
They are. And it's more, we started this program, it's called Hops on the Hill. Here's a calendar for it for you. But Hops on the Hill, we have a lounge area as well, some beautiful decks. And what we wanted to do is highlight the casual side of Stein's. A lot of people think of the Glitterton as a special event restaurant. A lot of anniversaries, birthdays, every day, people coming in. We have at least 10 anniversaries. But this is more the, wine is a passion of mine, but I love beer. I actually married to the brand manager for Squatters in Wasatch. beers, I homebrew, and... the chef and I both enjoy beer, and it's a series we do to highlight local breweries, which there are some very good breweries in Utah. A lot of people think because they brew Low Point beer, they're not as competitive, but it really makes them really hone their craft, because to brew a beer at 4%,
right,
which it's now going to go to 5% in November, to make it taste good, you have to have talent. So.
And in looking at this calendar that you shared with us, it looks like it's Tuesdays through the summer.
Yeah,
Tuesdays. For folks to know, and it's Hops on the Hill at the Stein Erickson Lodge, Deer Valley.
Correct.
And what kind of food pairings are you thinking? I mean, I see we have a different beer every week. What kind of food pairings are you thinking about?
Well, we basically, I send the list of beers to the chefs, mm-hmm, and they come up with, we normally do something that's outdoors, we either smoke or grill, mm-hmm, and that's the thing about beer. Beer goes with everything. It really does. But we try to match the food to the beer. We're actually sold out. It's a two-part. We have a tasting where you can taste three beers from each brewer. There's two tomorrow, Squatters and Shades of Pale. And Shades of Pale actually started here in Park City. They're now down in Salt Lake. And then the second part is we also have another barbecue going where we have burgers, brats, hot dogs. And for Stein's, you're basically getting the same Stein burger. We're getting it for half the price on the lawn, and there's a free concert. So even if we're sold out for the tasting portion, people come up, they bring their lawn chairs, sit on our lawn, watch the band, hang out in our lounge. So it's very
awesome.
Good event.
Well, that's a good note for us to end on. Jason, quote, beer goes with everything, Bennett.
It's actually Barrett.
Oh, it's Barrett. My notes here are wrong. And one last shot. So that's a Stein Erickson Lodge and the Glitterton restaurant. Congratulations again on being named one of America's 100 best wine restaurants. You're